will be. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Tim. What a blessing. Amen. Well, we have a lesson in building this morning out of Luke chapter 6. And of course, most of us know this story. Little children will be in junior church and they'll sing, "Wise man build his house upon the rock." How many of you know that song? All right, we're not going to sing it right now, but anyway, I could tell some of you are really disappointed. Well, I don't know all the verses. I know about the wise man and the foolish man, but then it gets kind of shaky after that. But anyway, we're going to preach about it, so that's better than singing it. Amen? Aww. How dare you? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have today to hear your word. And Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts with it today. Teach us some things, show us some things. Especially, I pray if there's anyone here today who's not saved, I pray they'd see that they're building their life on the sand, and it will come tumbling down. And please speak to us and help Christians, Lord. I pray that we would recognize today that the foundation's not enough. We need to build our lives, and we need to let you build us and make us what we ought to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Every structure, building that is, needs to have a good foundation. I remember learning this in really a young age as far as Christian age. New convert down in college, and we actually had a house built there near the college and got a good deal, got a government kind of a loan, and were able to build a house down there. And I'll never forget, I had a friend of mine was the contractor, and he was attending college as well. And he started off, of course, with the foundation. And I kept saying, "All right, now, when are we building walls?" He said, "Oh, you don't understand." He said, "It takes a lot of time on the foundation." And I was so impatient. It was funny. We'd be out there digging and digging and digging and working and working and working. And I kept saying, "Come on, I want to see the roof. I want to get in inside the house, and we need to get some walls up." And he said, no. He said, "You don't want to get the walls up until you're ready with a good foundation." And I got so frustrated with him. I really did. I kept saying, "Come on, why is this taking so long? I want to see something. Let's get some paint here, you know." So he told me to paint the foundation. But anyway, I was so frustrated about that. But it was really interesting. We moved in the house, and about 1 or 2 weeks after we moved in the house, Hurricane Frederick decided to visit the Gulf Coast. And I remember thinking, boy, when the wind was blowing and transformers were blowing out all around us, and I believe we had like 90-mile-an-hour winds, just a couple of houses, a couple of blocks down, their houses were damaged, trees were blown over, and I remember sitting in that house. We put our tape on our windows, you know, that's real dramatic. You put a big X there, and I remember sitting there thinking, "Oh, I'm so glad we have a good foundation. I am so glad." And again, that foundation is important. I remember watching him build the administration building there. And we would sit over in what used to be Coberly Hall. And we'd sit there and we'd eat there, take breaks there. And there were little tables. And I remember watching. And it took forever. I mean, half the time of building that whole building was the foundation. And again, I remember talking to some of the workers and saying, "You know, you're spending so much time on that foundation." And again, it was pointed out to me that because of hurricanes and high winds and everything, that is so important. And we have contractors here in our church, and they would tell you the same thing. The foundation's crucial. Absolutely crucial. And God tells us that is the way it is in our lives. There are foundational truths in Christianity, but there's only one foundation. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And if He's not your foundation, then you're building your life on sand. If Jesus is not your foundation, then everything will come tumbling down, and you will lose as far as your life is concerned. It's interesting in verse 47, Jesus says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." And again, as he talks about our lives, and that is what this is about, as he talks about our lives, you come to church, now will you hear what he says, but more importantly, will you do what he told you to do? Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Understand, your life is being built on no foundation. You do not have Jesus as your foundation. You say, well, my life is built on the church. Then you're going to come tumbling down. Because the church is not the foundation. Oh, my life is built on good works. Then you're going to come tumbling down because good works is not the foundation. And you need to understand that there is only one foundation, that is Jesus Christ. We are living in a day, you say, preacher, you talked about this the last couple weeks. You need to understand we're in a day where people are now accepting all kinds of foundations. They are just the earth. They are the sand. And when the wind blows, when the stream arises, when the flood comes, they're going to come tumbling down. And I'm going to tell the truth. And we're going to keep preaching the truth. And we're going to preach the truth to our shepherds and to our children. And we're going to preach the truth in the prisons. And we're going to preach the truth to the deaf. And we're going to keep preaching the truth and preaching the truth. There's just one foundation. There's just one foundation. Most of your religious shows and different things, they're going away from the one foundation of Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, many, many people are falling for the idea that, well, as long as you just believe something, as long as you're sincere, that is not what my Bible says. My Bible says there's just that one foundation. There is no other foundation, just the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is our foundation. And if you're trying to build your life on anything else today, doesn't matter what it is. You say, well, I've got a relative that's a pastor. My dad's a deacon. Doesn't matter. That is not a foundation that will lead to salvation. You must have Jesus Christ as your Savior. I just want to give you 2 points today and show you some things here. Number one, we see the wise builder. The wise builder. And the Bible says in verse 48, he's like a man which built a house. Again, he heard. He came and he heard and he did. He built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And here's the wise builder, and we learn some things about him. The Bible says he's a wise person. The Bible says this guy is a wise person. I mean, obviously he's wise because Jesus said earlier, he came, he heard, and he did. Again, I always question folks that will come and hear but not do. I don't understand that. I don't understand why you would come to church and hear and not do. I don't understand why somebody would come to church and not hear. I don't understand people coming to church and sitting and talking during church. I don't get it. I don't understand people come to church and sit and read the hymn book during church. I don't get it. Amen. I don't understand that. I don't understand anybody where the Bible is being preached, the Bible is being taught, the Bible is being talked about. I don't understand anybody not listening. But beyond that, I don't know why anybody would listen and not do. But boy, we'll walk out of here today. Boom. People will walk out those doors and you've heard. But it's like it goes in one ear, out the other, and we just go on our lives. This guy's wise because he came, he heard, and he did. This man's wise because of several things that the Bible talks about here. Number one, he's wise because he believed in the rock. He knew that the sandy earth wasn't enough. He had no faith in the sand. He had no faith in what the world had to offer him, the sandy earth. He waited until he found the rock. He searched. By the way, Jeremiah 29:13, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Ye shall find me, Jesus said. You'll find the foundation. Jesus said, you'll find the rock when you search for me with all your heart. You'll find the foundation that you need to have. This man believed in the rock. He knew there had to be more than just the sandy earth. He knew, maybe you're here today without Christ, but you know, and maybe that's why you're here. Thank God. Praise God. You're in the right place because I'm going to point you to the rock. And I'm going to point you to the one who is the foundation. Understand this. God is not hidden. You know, you hear this all the time today. And again, it's part of that politically correct mess that we see. And you hear it all the time. Well, you know, what about all the people that are just sincere and they're looking for God? My Bible says if they're looking for God, they will find Him. My Bible says God has put within everybody a consciousness of God. And God goes after that consciousness. And if they really are seeking for Him, we have a lot of folks today that say, well, what about people that never hear and people... Let me tell you something. If they want to know God, my Bible says they'll find Him. And here's somebody that said, hey, the sand isn't enough. The earth isn't enough. If I'm going to build a house, I'm going to build my house on the rock. I'm not going to settle for the sand. I'm not going to settle for the earth. I'm not going to settle for less than Jesus Christ. There is no other rock. There's lots and lots of sand. There's lots of sand out there, folks. There's every kind of religion, ism, schism, the whole bit. It's all out there. There's works salvation. There's religion salvation. There's all kinds of ways man says you can get to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way. Amen. There's lots and lots of opportunities for sand. Lots of opportunity for earth. But there's only one rock. And if you want Him, all you have to do, my Bible says, is seek Him. And you'll find Him. All that person in Africa has to do is seek Him. There is a consciousness of Him. All he has to do is seek Him. And he will find Him. Amen. Glory to God. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're born. God is available to every person. This person was wise because he said, I'm not settling for anything less. I'm not, hey, listen, why be a church member when you can have Jesus Christ as your Savior? Don't settle for church membership when you can have Jesus as Savior. Don't settle for getting baptized when you can build your house on the rock. People say, well, you ask them, you say, have you trusted Christ as Savior? Well, I've been baptized. Then your house is built on sand and it will come tumbling down. Huh? Well, you know, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, I'm a member of a church. Then your house will come tumbling down. This man was wise because he believed in the rock and he wasn't going to settle for anything else. Glory to God. That's the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to be. I mean, hidden among all the religions and all the cults and all the garbage out there. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is still the rock and he may be found. And you know what? It would help people a whole lot if you and I would go out and tell them about Jesus and hand out our gospel tracts everywhere we go. You say, well, it's not popular. But it never has been popular. But it is the truth. Amen. This guy was wise. He was a wise builder because he believed in the rock. Number two, he didn't let anything stop him from getting to it. Amen. He digged deep, the Bible says. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep. You know, as you consider Christ this morning, maybe you've never been saved. You need to dig deep in your own life. You need to understand. You know, it's amazing when you talk to people who are trusting in their works to get them to heaven. It doesn't take very long to recognize even they know their works are corrupt. Even they understand that their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Doesn't take very long. Doesn't take long. I mean, I played that game as a teenager and went through all that stuff. Well, I'm not that bad. Come on. Dig deep. Dig deep into your life. You know what you are. We know what we are. Lost mankind. You say, oh, this guy's so religious and such a good person. But if he would dig deep, he would know what he really is. You don't have to dig very deep to find out in the Word of God that we're all sinners. But he didn't let anything stop him from getting to the rock. You know, it's time people quit worrying about peer pressure. Huh? And quit worrying about, you know, what will everybody think. I mean, I really believe there are people right here, right now, who are not saved. And I believe that. You know, I don't know who they are. I'm not trying to get you to feel insecure or anything like that. But I believe, you know, well, preacher, you don't understand. Everybody thinks I am. And let me tell you something. If you're not, then the rain will come tumbling down and you will fall. If your house is not built on the rock, you will die and go to hell someday. Now, you can play games all you want. I'm just telling you, the wise person doesn't let anything stop him from finding that rock. The wise person doesn't let anything put, nothing's going to stop. Hey, I'm going to dig as deep as I need to dig so that I get to that foundation that is a rock. Because the sand isn't going to work. I got news for you. You got to put aside your pride, your religion, your false teaching or whatever it might be, and your sin, and recognize whether you're saved or whether you're lost. Let me tell you, I know my house is on the foundation. I know it's on the rock. But I believe there are folks sitting here today, you're not so sure about that. And if you're not sure, you better make sure. I'm serious. We live in a day where, hey, you know, well, I'm religious as that guy, but religious as that guy is not on a rock. You need to make sure that you are saved, you have trusted Christ and Him alone to save you, that you're not just a member of a church, that you're not just baptized, that you're not just a good person. You need to recognize whether you're saved or not. Have you trusted Jesus as Savior? That's the only thing that matters. The wise person doesn't let anything stop him. The wise person said, you know what? I'm going to make sure of this thing. I'm going to get it settled once and for all. And I'm going to make sure that I am saved. And I'm going to make sure that my life is built on the solid rock. He believed in the rock. He didn't let anything stop him from getting to it. And then the third thing, and I believe this with all my, he's such a wise person because he built his house on it. He built his house on the rock. Amen. He wasn't satisfied with just finding a good foundation. You've probably seen this before, and I think we if we drove around enough, we'd see more and more of these things. But I remember one time going into a neighborhood. In fact, it was in Montpelier, Indiana, and it was almost like the neighborhood just stopped. What do you mean? Well, there were a couple of houses that had been built there, but then there were just foundations. In fact, I could take you to some place here in Adrian right now where there's just a foundation sitting. I just now thought of this. But in Montpelier, there were several of them. There was a cul-de-sac. Nice little area, nice little place. And there were like three foundations there. You know, what a terrible testimony of the builder. You know, here's three foundations. No house, just foundations. And you look at that, you think, what in the world? And there's weeds growing up. In fact, the foundation here in this area, I'm thinking of it right now. Weeds all around it. I mean, nasty weeds all around that foundation. And there's a foundation. In my mind, I think, you know, that foundation's probably a solid foundation. Several builders are thinking about it now. Yeah, let me know, preacher. I'll build something on that. But you know, you think, so everything underneath that is just right. What are they called? The footers? They're probably poured just right. Everything's perfect. They spent all that time, all that money, and there sits a nice, perfect foundation. And there it sits. I remember driving that little cul-de-sac in Montpelier, Indiana, and we would do it several times, just kind of look and just watch as nothing, just foundation. Now see, the wise man, this wise builder, he built on the foundation. He built on it. He didn't say, okay, man, I got my foundation. Here I am. Wow, this is a great foundation. I mean, this is a wonderful foundation. No, he built on it. You know what's sad to me as a pastor? It is sad when I see I know as a builder, you have to think, what in the world happened there? In fact, I just thought of another example, not just the foundation. Well, I'm not even going to give that. It's not as good of an example. But I think of these foundations that have nothing on them. And then I look out and I see a lot of foundations with nothing on them. I'm saved. I found the rock. He is my rock. He saved me. I'm going to heaven. What are you doing? Well, I got some weeds growing around me. How about a wall? No walls. How about some trusses? No trusses. I just thought trust and obey. Amen. That's exactly why you don't build on it, because you don't trust and obey. Huh? What about the carpet? No carpet. What do you have? You have a foundation. By the way, can I just say something to you? When the rains come down, the floods come up, being on a foundation is a great place to be, but you're going to get wet. You're going to get wet. That's why so many Christians are wet. You have the foundation. You got that right, but you never built. Really, it's as ridiculous as Noah saying, I want to stay on the ark. You know, the ark saved him. Thank God for the ark. I mean, he's not on the ark. He's in real trouble. He drowns. And so here's Noah. He's on the ark. And everything's going great. And him and his family, they're doing great. And all those animals that are there, they're all doing great. And they've been eating all that time. And they're having a wonderful time. And everything's good. But after a while, it's kind of like, you know, there's a lot of us on this ark. And things are starting to kind of smell on this ark. Yeah, that's why. That's what's frustrating as a pastor. I'll have people tell me, you know, my Christianity is just not what... Hey, build. 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 Or, as God told Noah, get off the ark. Get off the ark. Well, we've gotten comfortable here. You know, that's what's so sad. And it really is sad. Here's a guy. He found the foundation. He has the rock. But no building. Imagine somebody with no building. Now this guy built. Amen. Imagine that. Perfect foundation to build a building on. The Bible says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are His workmanship. What a terrible testimony. Now, it's wonderful to go to heaven, and what a blessing it is. But the truth of the matter is, what do you have to show for your life? Is there anything on the foundation? Look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. Here we see building. And beside this, giving all diligence. Notice what he's doing. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, what are we going to do? We're going to add knowledge. And to knowledge, what are you going to do? We're going to add temperance. And to temperance, what are we going to do now? We're going to add patience. And to patience, we're going to add godliness. It's like we have our foundation, and to the foundation, we're going to add walls. And to the walls, we're going to add trusses. And then we're going to add interior walls. And we're going to add drywall. And we're going to add paint. We're going to add, well, somewhere in there, we're going to add a roof. Amen. And we're going to add shingles. And you see what I'm saying? We're adding to things. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And what are we going to do then? To brotherly kindness, we're going to add charity. See, we're adding. For if these things be in you and abound. What's abound? That's adding. That's happening. That's life. That's abundant life. What's it say? They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many Christians today who are barren and unfruitful because you've got the foundation right. And the foundation is solid. But you've never added. You're satisfied with the foundation. Well, I'm saved. That's good. You never build on it. What do you mean? I mean getting baptized. You know, it amazes me how many folks are saved, but you've never gotten baptized. I remember when I was a long-haired hippie, and I got saved. And you know what almost kept me from getting baptized? I didn't want to get my hair wet. Seems silly, doesn't it? So many things back then seem silly today. I was just absolutely scared to death to get my hair wet in front of people. It took me an hour to style my hair right. What are you laughing about, Mark Letson? I've seen your pictures. How long did it take you? Anyway, only our stylists know for sure. But do you know how stupid that is? I know we're not supposed to use deep theological terms like that on Sunday morning, but you know, whatever it is that keeps you from getting baptized, what could it possibly be? You know, the Ethiopian eunuch said, "What doth hinder me?" What does hinder you? Why wouldn't you get baptized? It's like, well, I got the foundation, right? Well, then why wouldn't you get baptized? It's amazing the excuses we come up with. It's amazing the thinking that we have as far as getting baptized. But if that's your next step in building, take the next step and get baptized. Amen? Becoming a church member, a member of a church. If that's the next step, do it.
Well, there's a lot of hypocrites.
Okay, well, there's a lot of hypocrites where you work. Quit your job. You said, well, I work here. You used to. We've been looking. Anyway, oh, that's terrible. But anyway. Well, I'm not a member of anything. Yes, you are. You're a member of the human race. Amen. It amazes me, really, the excuses. But again, that's part of building, you know. Being faithful to church, that's part of building. You come to church. Amen. Reading your Bible, that's part of building. I'm amazed how many Christians don't read their Bible. I'm excited about how many are reading their Bible and reading through their Bible in a year. I keep hearing more and more. I hear families that are doing it together. Praise God for that. That's the way it should be. As Christians. Yeah, the foundation, but why wouldn't we build on the foundation? Tithing. I would be in shock, I'm sure. I think that's one of the reasons why pastors aren't supposed to know. Some pastors do know. I wouldn't want to know because I would have a hard time looking at you. Honestly, I just can't even imagine. People that would steal from God. Will a man rob God, the Bible says? That's not talking about sneaking in and stealing while he's away. That's talking about holding a gun to him and saying, give me all your money. You say, well, God, you don't understand, preacher. I can't pay my bills. That's why. It's exactly why you can't pay your bills. Do you understand how much everything costs and how many deals God gives you? Do you know that God can hold that little doohickeys thing on your washing machine together for years and years and years? Until you have the money to fix it? Don't you get that? I think about our washer and dryer, which recently, by the way, it still works. We gave it to somebody else. But how long did we have that thing? 24 years. It had one of those old heating elements in the back. You know what I'm talking about? The little wired doohickeys thing? I had to change that one time. Long time ago. No, that was a different one. I don't think that was even that one. But that thing just kept going. We'd move and it moved with us. Amen. You know, and we just kept taking it along everywhere we went and it just kept working. I mean, that thing washed diapers. Amen. I mean, it did all that stuff and it just kept going. And I believe with all my heart that God just held that thing together. But you know, we get this idea. Well, you know, I'm going to, all right, God, give me all your money. Give me that 10%. God, you say, preacher, you make it sound. That's what the Bible says. Will a man rob God? I didn't write it. God did. And we somehow get this idea that we're going to do that and then God's going to bless us. And pink stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Pink. How many moms know what I'm talking about? Pink stuff. You don't have a clue, do you? It's unbelievable. Pink stuff is that pink stuff that you give to your kids every week. Now do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's pink stuff in a bottle. And maybe it's not pink anymore. It used to be pink. I'm trying to think of what it is. Antibiotic. No, amoxicillin. That's it. See, you knew, but you wouldn't raise your hand. Cowards. Stand with the preacher, bless God. But I'm talking about pink stuff. We used to have families, honestly, we had families. I would tell them, I'd say, you ought to get a crate load of it. Your kids are on it constantly. I'd see the kids, they'd be drinking it like that. But do you understand God controls all that? Tonsils? God knows about tonsils. Amen. He knows about sniffles. He knows about snot. He knows about coughing. He knows all those things, and yet we're going to say, stick them up, God! Give me all you got! And then we say, oh, God bless my little Poindexter who doesn't feel good, his little belly. Huh? It's amazing to me. God even knows about Fords. Amen. Little, even those new circuit doohickeys board things that they have, God knows all about them too. Amen. If you only knew, the whole thing about that is, we're going to rob God? But see, that's building. That's growing. I remember it. Many of you remember the first time you tithed. You were terrified. Scared to death. How can I give this much? Now that seems so funny. How can I not give it? Praying, it's a wall. Telling others about Jesus, it's a wall you need to build. Huh? Build on His foundation. Again, verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's not just a matter of finding the foundation, it's a matter of building on that foundation. Amen? I mean, honestly, building the building on the foundation, that's His word as much as finding the foundation. Amen? Oh, I found it! But what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? So many are saved, but you're missing out on the abundant life that God has for you. Literally, you're standing on your foundation in the rain. And the foundation, sure, it's secure as can be. What do you have? Your little pup tent on the foundation? You're safe. But I can tell you this, it can't be very comfortable. Amen. Boy, people are just solemn. That's how it is. Huh? I mean, you do nothing eternal. Well, I'm hoping my pup tent follows me to heaven. Real quick, 1 Corinthians 3. You say, every time you say real quick, it's not. It's just a glimmer of hope. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Already quoted it. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. This is the judgment seat of Christ. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This is what we do on our foundation. Are you listening? This is your life. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is when every Christian, it is not a judgment of sin. It is that sin was already dealt with. My sin was dealt with. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, my sin was dealt with. This is not dealing with sin. It's just dealing with our life. What'd you build on your foundation? What'd you build? The Bible says, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Well, God, here's my pup tent. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And we don't even think about that. I'm amazed that we don't even think about that. Because that's standing before our Lord Jesus Christ. And literally, it is saying, here's how much I loved you, God. Here's how I'm going to bring you glory. There's my foundation. And that's all I have. Now praise God, you're saved so as by fire. Amen? But you had nothing. That means whatever years you were saved was wasted. Here it is, God! And there's your foundation in the middle of weeds. How sad. It is the only way that we can say thank you to Jesus. There's my house. There's my house, God. I got saved, and right afterwards I got baptized. And Lord, I started going to church, and I joined that church. And God, I remember when I started reading my Bible. I started listening to the preacher and started going to the altar. so that my life could be altered. And I remember, Lord, when there's a wall there when I started praying and talking to you. And I've been sporadic, Lord. Sometimes I messed up, but I remember praying and boy, pretty soon I had a roof on my house. And Lord, I remember tithing, and I was terrified to tithe, but I remember tithing, and I remember then giving to missions and trusting you by faith. And Lord, you put shingles on my house, and well, Lord, I've been serving you. I've told people about you. I've passed out tracts. I've been faithful to church. I've been serving you, God. And there's my house. And God says, here's your rewards. And we cast them at Jesus' feet. And we say, thank you, God. How sad that we just have a plot with a foundation and weeds. The foundation's solid. But sad to say, so many Christians, you're shaky on that foundation. You've just never grown to where Christianity is a joy and a thrill and abundant life. Colossians 2. I started to say real quick, but you already fell for that once. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Boy, that's good. That is so good. I'll close this point with Jude 1 and verse 20. You say, just this point? Well, this sub-point. Jude 1 and verse 20. Any chapter will work. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what we're supposed to do. Build, 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 build. I think one of the verses, oh, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough just to find the foundation. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing about this guy, the wise builder, he was happy with the results because nothing could shake it. Amen. Amen. Laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. Hey, you know, your pup tent on the foundation, it ain't going to shake either. You're shaking inside. I would be in a pup tent. But that foundation's solid. You don't have to worry about that foundation. Amen. This guy, his house, it was as stable as the rock because it was built on the rock. And that rock, it held firm. Happy with the foundation, happy with the building. 2 Timothy 2:19, the foundation of God standeth sure. I've been through a whole bunch of storms. And you know, honestly, it is. I went through some storms in the pup tent and I shook. But I've been through some storms now in the old house that's been built. And I don't shake as much anymore. Why is that? Because I know He's got it all under control. So honestly, some Christians, it's so sad. It's so sad that you've not learned, you've not grown enough, you've not built on the foundation enough that you understand that everything is okay with the Lord. The wise builder. Number two, the foolish builder. And we'll just be brief here. Verse 49, it says, he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation build an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great, and that is any life that is not built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 5:21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. You know, if we wish to end with Him, we need to begin with Him. And that's where the foundation is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's someone who ignored the rock. He heard about it, he knew about it, but he didn't do anything about it. Here's somebody who decided, well, I'll just be religious. I'll just do good works. I'll just go this way. He knew about it. He heard, the Bible says, but he ignored the rock. He also built too soon. He built when he should have been digging. He built when he should have been looking for the rock, the foundation. He set his own life in motion. He had big plans. And maybe that's you here today. You've got it all figured out. But you're lost without Christ. You need to be saved. Here's somebody who built without the foundation. He decided, well, I'll just put this on the earth. I'll just put it down here on the sand. Nothing solid. Oh, how many people are building their lives on nothing solid? You ask them, hey, what are you going to do when you die? They say, oh, I'll take care of that when the time comes. Nothing solid. If you died right now, where would you go? Oh, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. Nothing solid. People all around us are dying. Nothing solid. How sad. I hope you're not like that today where there's nothing solid. Building without a foundation is building with nothing solid. Well, but the devil said, the devil has nothing to offer but sand. That's all he has. He has no rock. You say, why? I know people that worship the devil. They're really into that. And they have nothing solid for their eternal life. Well, I'm doing okay. You're doing okay now. But you have nothing solid. Seriously, you want to stir things up? Ask people about their eternity. That'll stir things up. Always does. Always. How many times has somebody said, well, would you go visit so-and-so? They're in the hospital. You go visit so-and-so in the hospital. And you say, hey, listen, if this doesn't work out, where will you spend eternity? Oh, what? You know, and then I get a call. Why'd you get them upset? Why did you ask me to visit them? What do you think I'm going to do? Come on, folks. People are upset when they realize they have nothing, no foundation. People do get mad when you confront them that they have no foundation. Well, you know, I'm a church member. Oh, really? Well, tell me how your church has been and how it's going to be in all eternity. Church membership never saved anybody. By the way, Satan guarantees you anything. I want you to understand, I've read the whole book. I've read the end of the book. He loses. He goes into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. I mean, he gets cast into the lake of fire. And in my mind, I hear him going, ah! And I love that idea. That woke some of you up. He is a defeated being. Why would you listen to anything he has to say? It's kind of like a company offering a warranty and then going bankrupt. Several know about that. See, here's somebody that said, well, I know I need a house, but I didn't think I would need a foundation. You do. You do. And you know, a house alone is only temporary. There's people today that have religion, they have money, they have all kinds of things. The question is, how long will your house stand without a foundation? It might be a big, beautiful, elaborate mansion. I have people all the time. Well, you know, these people may be wicked, but they're doing all right. They're doing all right now. How are they really doing? When there's no foundation, they're not doing well. And so this man, his hopes were ended suddenly, the Bible says. The Bible says, the stream did beat vehemently and immediately it fell. It fell. When? When the flood came. When? When the rain came down. It fell. It fell immediately. Now this guy built the best house he could, but he didn't have the rock. Perhaps you're here without Christ. You need to understand there's one thing needful. And you need to choose that one thing. That's the rock. That is the foundation. And so the ruin of that house, well, pretty much everybody in that house fell with the house. How sad. So many, because of stubbornness and unwillingness to trust Christ as Savior, take their whole family with them. How sad. How sad. We go back to our other idea. And people that have a foundation, your whole family, and you are sitting on your foundation in the rain. because you're not willing to build on it. How sad that a child has to grow up in a home where the parents have decided, I've got the foundation, but we're all going to just kind of live in this pup tent on the foundation. And so Christianity, instead of being a blessing, it's miserable. Huh? I hear it all the time. We don't read the Bible in our house. We don't ever pray. We don't. Come on, preacher. I mean, we just go to church. Well, anyway, I think a lot of folks, first of all, you need the foundation. You need Christ. Second of all, you need to build on that foundation. I think there's going to be a lot of disappointment. A lot of disappointment when judgment time comes. Of course, the great white throne judgment, disappointment because they built their house on sand. They built their house and it fell. And it will fall. And hell is real. But I think there's also going to be a lot of disappointment among Christians who have the foundation. They're saved. They've asked Jesus into their heart. But they just never built on that foundation. I wish you'd decide, you know what, doesn't matter how old you are, start building. Grow. Be what God wants you to be. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's talking, looking around, or anything else. So we give the invitation, if God's speaking to your heart, and you need to make a decision, you ought to make the decision God wants you to make. How many would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. Anyone? Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all? Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not saved. How many would say, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart today. Pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. Slip it up. Pray for me. Pray for me as a Christian. Father, bless the invitation. We ask for your will to be done in our hearts and our lives. Thank you, God, for the foundation. You provided it all. Thank you that we can rest on that foundation. But help us, Lord, to rest and build. And God, to be busy growing and being what you want us to be, that we would have something to show for our lives. And I pray that we would be able to use that to bring honor and glory to you. Bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. 280-280. Softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. If you need to come today, you have a decision to make. You come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. Stay on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you.
Continue to play. If you have a decision to make, then you come. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Maybe you've been trying to fake everyone out. You'll not fake out God. If you need to be saved today, get saved. Perhaps you're here as a Christian. You've got the foundation right, but what is on the foundation? Are you like that house that I'm thinking of right now here in Adrian that has weeds grown up all around it? All summer long, weeds just grew up all around, and now they're all dry and dead. And sure enough, spring will come. There will be weeds again. Summer, they'll grow. No walls. No carpet. No drywall. No paint. No electrical. No plumbing. Just a foundation. Amen. Look up this way, please. We have no ensemble practice at 4:30, but we do have choir at 5. Teens will meet at 5. Prayer times at 5. So be here for all of those activities. Then, of course, 6 o'clock, our evening service. And then we have, after that, the small or the instrumental ensemble will be practicing. Pardon? So the instrumental ensemble will be at 4:30, and then Don's going to prison. We'll pray for you, Don. No. But anyway, so anyone who plays instruments in our little ensemble here, bring your instrument, come at 4:30, and practice for the ensemble. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we do thank you for the rock that you gave us to build on. We thank you for the tools that you've laid out in your word and the building materials that you've given to us to build with upon that foundation. Father, we pray that if there's one yet here that doesn't have the foundation, hasn't found the rock, that they would take care of that before they leave today. And Lord, every one of us can build more upon the foundation that you of your Son, who you've given for us. And Lord, we pray that we would this week take that activity seriously in our own lives. Guide us and direct us, Lord. Protect us. Bring us together again to the next appointed hour, I pray in Jesus' name.